What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number 3 of our radio program. Zach Yelp here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up 20 minutes from now, Merrill Hodge will join us. So I'm thinking about the NFL draft right now. And I know you have the Senior Bowl ongoing in Mobile, Alabama. But when you take a look at the NFL draft, I think the top of the draft is now fascinating. The first 2 picks. Because before we saw the final 4 of the college football playoff, I think most people said, hey, you're going to have quarterbacks go 1-2 in the draft. Like, you know, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward will probably go 1-2, either Cam 1, Shedeur 2, or whatever. So that's what I felt as if the sentiment was. And I know that the draft order then was finalized before, because the second round games were New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And then once you saw the final 4, where Abdul Carter, right, had such a good performance in the first matchup or the second round matchup against Boise, you know, he got hurt. It was that third matchup where he had a big performance where people are like, oh, yo, this is a generational talent. Now, I was sitting there going into the semifinals, and I go, hey, well, if quarterbacks go 1-2, and then even if it's not 1-2, it'll be 1-3, and then Travis Hunter will be sandwiched in the middle. Or Travis Hunter, if it's quarterbacks 1-2, will then be 3. So I've already locked up in my mind that we were going to see my Patriots get Abdul Carter. And even though the Patriots need a wide receiver, they need an offensive lineman, I thought the world of Abdul Carter, and I've already set my mind out that the Patriots are going to get him. Now I sit here 2 minutes after 5 o'clock on January 30th, and I don't have a damn clue if the Patriots are going to get Abdul Carter. Because the president over at Tennessee, he was the one that said, hey, we're not going to pass up on generational talents. And that to me could be interpreted in many ways. Like, what's your motive there? You're trying to maybe have a team come up and give you a king's ransom for the pick. Do you view either Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward as a generational quarterback? I don't. Or does that mean that Tennessee is going to take either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter? And in a few mock drafts, I'm now seeing Abdul Carter be the number one player in the draft. So Tennessee needs a quarterback and Cleveland needs a quarterback. I got to think one of those teams end up taking a quarterback. And imagine if you're a Giant fan at 3, right? You want a quarterback. I think you either want Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. Could you imagine if the first pick of the draft, you know, Goodell walks out there and goes, with the first pick of the 2025 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans take Abdul Carter, edge rusher, Penn State. If you're a Giant fan there, you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's wonderful, right? You're going to get your pick of quarterbacks. And then, if you imagine, right, he goes, Cleveland's second pick, it's Travis Hunter, Colorado. If you're a Giant fan, you're thrilled there. You're jumping up and down like a fat kid in a candy store. Because then you get either Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. But what happens if this is all smokescreen? Because that's the difficult part if you're a Giant fan, where a month ago, if you told me, right, Tennessee and Cleveland had the first two picks, everyone would be like, Tennessee's taking Cam and Cleveland's taking Shedeur or vice versa. And then the Giants would be like, all right, yeah, you would take Travis Hunter. Or maybe then you would take Abdul Carter. But the Giants, they have some good defensive linemen. You know, you got Brian Burns, who you traded King's Ransom and then paid. You got this, Sexy Dexy, Dexter Lawrence in the middle of that defensive line. You're probably not going to give a second contract to Kayvon Thibodeau. He's just been too inconsistent. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau's getting into it with Dez Bryant I saw last weekend. They were going back and forth on social media because the Giants are taking a beating for not re-signing Saquon. And Dez Bryant, something along the likes of, Saquon's the only player that, like, the Giants needed to keep. Which, that I didn't necessarily agree with. Like, Dexter Lawrence is a ferocious defensive lineman. So you at least got to throw him into that conversation. But if I'm a Giant fan, my emotions, I think, are getting played with now. Because I went into this, right, if you're a Giant fan, when the season wrapped up that last weekend of the year where, you're the third pick, you're probably not going to get Shedeur Cam. Now it seems like the door's open for you to get one of these guys without having to trade up. Now, Stu, here's the other part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do your Raiders sit there and go, we probably can't wait? Like, I still see some mock drafts having the Raiders take Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward at 6. I still have a tough time believing, even though I don't think either player in Shedeur or Cam, I can name 6 players better in this draft than them. I have a tough time thinking that the Raiders are going to be able to get there without having to move up to get Shedeur or Cam at 6. But if it goes the way that now some people are saying it could go, where let's say Abdul Carter's 1, Travis Hunter's 2, let me just throw Shedeur in there at 3, Patriots then, you know, like they take an offensive lineman, Jaguars aren't taking a quarterback, then you could get a quarterback in at 6. But I'm still not believing the smoke here that both Tennessee and Cleveland are passing up on a quarterback. I think one could. And if I look at who's more likely, I think that's a fascinating question. Because Tennessee, you have your coach that's there for his second year. But you just brought in a new general manager. So does the GM feel pressed to take a quarterback now? Now, you could say, wait until next year. We'll get our quarterback in next year's draft. You're not guaranteed to be the number one overall pick in next year's draft. I think it's still more likely that Cleveland is the one that passes on the quarterback. Because I could see Cleveland saying, we still have a good roster. We'll go elsewhere to get that quarterback. You know, and maybe they tip their hand before the draft even happens. Because if, like, Cleveland goes sign Sam Darnold, or if, like, they get Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins, let's say, on a cheap contract, I don't think they're taking a, like, they still could take a quarterback because, like, you know, you bring in Sam, I think he's your guy in terms of the contract. But if you're signing Kirk or if you're signing Russell Wilson, that's a stopgap year. So you could still take a quarterback, have him sit behind those guys, even though for Kirk, that'd be 2 years in a row. You go somewhere and then they go draft someone. But then maybe Cleveland says, okay, we could trade out of that pick if they didn't want to take Travis Hunter, or they could take Travis Hunter. So I think that's tricky. I think that's really tricky. But if you're Tennessee, you have the number one overall pick. You need a quarterback. I know your team has other holes. I think that they're going to end up taking a quarterback. Where are you at on that? Because my emotions are getting toyed with it. As a Patriot fan sitting at 4 that wants either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter Jr. You know, you could tell me that the offensive linemen, the other wide receivers in this draft, I want one of those two guys. I want either Abdul Carter or I want Travis Hunter, preferably Abdul 1, Travis 2. But Stu, in your mind, trying to project this on how the Raiders could get a quarterback, do you see none of Tennessee or Cleveland passing up on a quarterback, one passing up on a quarterback, or both passing up on a quarterback?
I think one. I think I could see one, but then it gets to the point where the Giants are going to take the other one at three.
So that's where it eliminates you guys still.
Yeah, I think so.
So if this goes the way that I think it goes, Tennessee takes a quarterback one. Then Cleveland becomes in a fascinating situation. Because if let's say they take Travis Hunter one, well, you could take Abdul Carter. Now people are going to say, well, they have Myles Garrett. Well, maybe they end up trading Myles Garrett and they keep Abdul Carter and you get the best of both worlds. You get a new pass rusher and you could still get a king's ransom for Myles Garrett. Or they could say, we'll pass on taking a player there and we'll just trade the pick and we'll stockpile picks. Because you could then make a team like the Raiders, or, you know, I don't know what the Saints want to do at nine. Maybe they then say, okay, we got to get past the Giants. Because if one quarterback goes to start the draft, and then if Stu's right, the second quarterback doesn't go at two, the Giants are going to take that quarterback at three. I think Joe Shane or Brian Daboll have to take a quarterback.
And the Giants would be in that bidding war as well, because I'm sure Cleveland would then be like, hey, do you want to move up one spot? It's going to cost you, though, but...
Yeah, because you could use the other teams. Oh, the Raiders are offering me an extra first-round pick, even though it's only moving up one spot, and you're falling back to three. You could then use that, I still need a first-round pick, where it may cost more for the Raiders to move up, but then also, that's really how the Browns get the best of both worlds. You get a future first-round pick from the Giants. The Browns fall down one spot. You know the Giants are taking a quarterback. You're there at three, and you still get either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. I swear, though, if the Patriots don't wind up with Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, and I guess it's a possibility, I'm going to be upset. And I'm hoping two quarterbacks go in the top three, and I'm hoping whoever doesn't take the quarterback ends up taking Travis Hunter. Because I think Abdul Carter is the best player in this draft. I do. And you know what? It's crazy, because the quarterback's the most impactful position. It's the most imperative position. But I have 7 players in the draft that I think are better players, just for starters, than any of these quarterbacks. Like, it's not me dumping on Shador or Cam. I think Shador or Cam are both really good quarterbacks that both did more with less this year. However, do I look at Shador as if he's going to be a top five quarterback in this league? I do not. Do I look at Cam Ward and do I think he's going to be a top five quarterback in this league? I do not. And that fifth spot's up for grabs. Without question, Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. I would then say Josh Allen is the second best quarterback in the league. I would then say Joe Burrow is the third quarterback in the league. Third best, and then Lamar is fourth. But if you want to tell me Lamar second, I can't really argue it. If you want to tell me Joe Burrow second, I can't really argue it. Those would be my personal rankings. One would be Mahomes, two would be Josh, three would be Burrow, four would be Allen. But outside of Mahomes, those other three, you could order them 2, 3, 4, whatever way you want. That fifth spot's up for grabs, though. And do I think that Shador or Cam are ever going to be the fifth best quarterback in football? I do not. Not for at least the next 5-10 years. So, we've also seen, right, C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels quickly come into the league and have success. So, I know sometimes people say, oh, have a quarterback sit a few years, and, right, there's arguments to be made for that. Those two quarterbacks came in. C.J. Stroud played, won a playoff game. Jaden Daniels came in, was awesome, and made a conference championship game in his first season. But I really do believe I can name 7 players in this draft that I think will, if you're just going pound for pound, not where they're going to go in the draft, because I get the importance of moving up the quarterbacks. I think Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Mason Graham, Tyler Warren, Will Campbell, Will Johnson, and Ashton Jeanty. Those 7 players, I think, are just better than Shador or Cam, but easily. I have a tough time seeing Shador or, you know, and Cam still not being the first 2 of the first 3 picks in this draft. Because to Stu's point, if Tennessee or the Browns want to go for the better pound-for-pound player in Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. All right, one of those teams I think could pass up on not taking a quarterback. But both of them doing so, I have a tough time seeing that. And then you could have, for example, the Giants then gobble up whoever's left at the quarterback position. But with that being said, just because I love these mock drafts, and I think Ryan Wilson and Chris Trapasso do a great job. Right now, Ryan Wilson, and let's see what ends up. I'm laughing at something. I'll tell you why in a second. Let's see what ends up after the Senior Bowl. Because you know what the Senior Bowl is? Yes, it's to highlight the seniors in college football. It's also a place for a lot of league personnel to be. And let's see what the messages that come out of the Senior Bowl and how it dictates on the mock drafts. But Ryan Wilson gave his latest mock draft on January 28th. He had Cam Ward going one, Shedeur Sanders still going two, Travis Hunter three, Kelvin Banks of Texas, the offensive lineman at four. Wow. Mason Graham five, Will Johnson six to the Raiders, McMillan the wide receiver out of Arizona seven to the Jets, Abdul Carter eight to the Panthers. So I'm fascinated why I think Abdul Carter is the best pound-for-pound player in this draft. Ryan Wilson is having going to eighth overall pick. Now, with that being said, a lot of people loved Micah Parsons coming out of college. And Micah Parsons, I think, was the sixth overall pick in the draft. And that was an edge rusher that fell. Yeah, he was. Oh, no, he was the 12th pick in the draft, Micah Parsons. Huh? So Abdul Carter, in like Ryan Wilson's exercise, would be the Micah Parsons of that draft class. Here was that draft. Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2, Trey Lance 3, Kyle Pitts 4, Jamar Chase 5. You know, Jamar Chase, I got a blyer. Jalen Waddle 6, Penei Sewell 7, J.C. Horn 8, Pat Surtain 9, Devontae Smith 10, Justin Fields 11, Micah Parsons 12. Like, if you just had to go through it, I know that Trevor Lawrence hasn't been as great as what people thought he was. I don't think the Jaguars are regretting not taking Trevor Lawrence, not taking Micah Parsons over Trevor Lawrence, even though Micah Parsons is so much of a better player than Trevor Lawrence is. Remember the next year, what I think they regret more, instead of taking Trayvon Walker, they should have selected Aiden Hutchinson. The Jets, they have to regret right now, all these years later, taking Zach Wilson. The Niners have to regret because they traded up, taking Trey Lance. If you're the Falcons, you'd rather have Micah Parsons. The Bengals, I think you'd rather have Jamar Chase. The Dolphins, I don't think you could crush them for getting Jaylen Waddle. The Lions, you can't crush them for taking Penei Sewell. He's one of the best tackles in football. Unfortunately, J.C. Horn's a good player. He's never healthy. So I think that the Panthers would rather have Micah Parsons. Pat Surtain, one of the best, if not the best, defensive player in the league, you could argue right now. Could win defensive player of the year. I don't think the Broncos regret taking Pat Surtain. The Eagles, yeah, I think you'd rather have Micah Parsons, but I don't think you regret taking Devontae Smith. He's been sensational for your team. And the Bears definitely regret taking Justin Fields. It didn't work out. So I know it's easier to do that now looking back at it, but wow, Micah Parsons, I forgot that he fell to 12. So that was Ryan Wilson's mock. Now here's Trapasso's mock. Abdul Carter, 1, Tennessee Titans. 2, still trade up, Raiders to 2, Shedeur Sanders goes 2. So in that exercise, Tennessee and Cleveland both, you pass it up on a quarterback. Cam Ward 3 to the Giants. Will Campbell, tackle out of LSU, to the Patriots. Will Johnson, Michigan corner, to Jacksonville. And then Travis Hunter going to the Browns in at 6. Yeah, I'd be disappointed if my Patriots are sitting there at 4 with either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter on the board. And I get why they could take an offensive lineman, right? Like, go then get the offensive line in free agency. Go get Slater, go get the Ravens, right? Just go do that and get their Slater. I'm thinking of Rashawn Slater of the Chargers.
Stanley,
yeah, thank you. I always mess him up. I always want to call him Staley instead of Stanley. I don't know why when we're talking about Ronnie. Like, go get, yeah, I get it. If you could have an offensive line for the next 10 years, you take him at the 4th overall pick. But I'm already falling in love with either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter Jr. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays on out. Alrighty, Merrill Hodge will join us on the other side. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Alrighty, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. There are great guest setups, and then there's whatever Merrill Hodge has cooking right now. This is unbelievable. If you're watching us live on YouTube,
where you could always stream us and as well as listen to us on SiriusXM channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and on one of your great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates. Merrill, you got a lot going on in a good way. Tell us what you got cooking today. Appreciate you doing this.
Zach, my pleasure, big dog. I'll get right to it. Okay, there's a bunch of things we got, but it all starts with what are you going to watch it on? And that's the LG OLED Evo G4. That bad boy brings the Super Bowl right in the living room. 8.3 million self-lit pixels, luminous color, powered by Brightness Boost Max technology, available in a 55-inch and a 97-inch. That one right there is a 65-inch. That gives you a visual. The Dolby Atmos sound is just incredible. So that gives you a big game experience on Sunday. And then the ultimate snack package option, Farm Rich. Number one best-selling mozzarella stick, jalapeno pepper, spinach, artichoke dip bites, and more. Football fans can visit farmrich.com to score deals on frozen snacks, all of these and more. And if either team has a pick six, Farm Rich fans will have a chance to win their own pick six box with six free product coupons and limited edition merchandise. They can visit at Farm Rich Snacks for details. Then everybody has to have some drink. So this right here, Pinter, is innovative and brand new and brews and draft machine. It's the first in the world to craft 12 pints of freshly made beer or cider at home in 7 days. You mix the ingredients right here with the water, leave it to brew, refrigerate it, and enjoy. Only $49 at pinter.com/game. And you get two free Pinter packs and a free tasting glass and free shipping when you subscribe. So do that today. And then lastly, the Cricut Joy Extra. Okay, it made this shirt. I could leave it at that, but it makes 50 plus materials. It deals with vinyl, cardstock, iron-ons, and it's only 12 inches. This is how big it is, so it's very compact and go with you. You can take it to a party if you need to, but the Cricut Joy Extra prepares the game, crafting, customizing, team logos, team names, these koozies, all the banners. You do all this, you are the MVP of the game. People will be coming to you every year for the big game if you do all four together, brother.
Wow, what an elite setup. That is championship quality. Let me talk to you about your Steelers, though, Merrill Hodge. We know they haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. Where are you at with the Steelers right now and your confidence level that Mike Tomlin's still the right guy to lead this organization?
Well, you know, I don't even start with Mike. I'd start with like the Rooneys. You know, they've always been consistent with their evaluations of everybody. You know, what I like about the Rooneys is they don't react, they respond, and they look at coaching. Mike could obviously be one of those, assistant coaches, players, and the entire organization, and where is it wrong? Where does it need to get better? And once they've made that evaluation, you know, they press forward. One thing I've learned about them with having three coaches in nearly 60 years is they're not irrational, and they believe they have the right guy and the right people. Sometimes they have tough times, and they need to grow through those and learn. And I believe that they're in that scenario right now. And even just on an outside looking in, if it was just Mike Tomlin, they'd get rid of Mike Tomlin. It's not. Mike Tomlin is still a guy who, even though he's whatever year he's in, 15 or 16, whatever it is, that doesn't mean he doesn't grow and evolve. He can still grow and evolve, and I think he does. And I think they had some new coaches come in that, you know, you need a couple of years to develop that and work with people to get better. Players can get better. So it's not just one area. I think they looked at the entire team, felt that it's fixable, and people that – or where the things went wrong can get better for next year. And I think that's the way they're choosing to build.
And let's also be real, that they need a quarterback. That they'll bring back either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. I don't think either the long-term answer, but if that's the option that you got to choose between one, Russ or Justin, which one would you choose between?
Well, I don't think you – see, that's a bigger mistake, just to narrow the scope like that. I think you have to widen the scope, you know, and look for – players that, you know, have some experience that might be available within the league. And then from a draft perspective, I think you encompass all of those options. You don't just go with one guy and put all your eggs in one of those two guys. I just think there's so many different other options that you need to look at first and foremost before you make a decision. And I think there's a way to have a lot of options going into training camp versus just that one.
Would like a Sam Darnold, or if Aaron Rodgers become available, would that be of interest?
Yeah. Well, I just think you have to look at those things. I'm not saying that they would take them into like Sam Darnold, probably more interesting than Aaron Rodgers, you know, if they're moving. But that's an example. I think that's why you got to widen your scope and not narrow it, you know, into the options that you can present for the year, for next year.
And I would assume you think that Sam's a little bit more interesting just because he's younger and Aaron maybe has like a year left in the league. Is that what it is?
Yeah, because, you know, you're not trying to get a 1 year. You're trying to build, you know. And so, you know, shoot, draft is an option too, you know. But, yeah, Sam Darnold, I'm not saying that they're looking at him. I'm just saying you got to look at all the options. You can't just go, oh, let's keep it here. You got to widen your scope in this one.
Merrill Hodge here with us. So I know that you were talking about Caleb Williams last time we discussed him, and, you know, we expanded on those that he isn't special comments that you made. They've obviously had a tough year this past year in Chicago. Now they're bringing in the innovative offensive mind of a Ben Johnson coming over from the Lions. What do you think Ben Johnson will do for the career of Caleb Williams?
Well, I think he'll help him. He'll help him. You know, and Caleb really, you know, what I said about Caleb is that this is what happened. He had so many things that he's flawed at from a college perspective. He wasn't going to a playoff team. He wasn't going to sit for a year. He wasn't going to have a mentor to teach him. He wasn't having the greatest coaching in NFL history. And he wasn't 6'3 like Patrick Mahomes. There's all these things he wasn't Patrick Mahomes. That doesn't mean he can't be a really good player, you know, because he has some good skill sets. He's just got to develop from the pocket. He tried that. He got better at it. There's a big learning curve with that. And I think that Ben Johnson, because of his experience and stuff he can do with the quarterback and how he can help an offense and help a quarterback, I think the future's bright, you know, going forward for him.
You know, Jaden Daniels had such an incredible year. So right now, right, he's the lead dog of that draft class at the quarterback position. After that, would you say Caleb's two, or would you, you know, maybe go with a Bo Nix or a Drake May? I know we didn't get to see Michael Penix Jr. all that much, and then J.J. McCarthy was out for the year. So would you put Caleb in that two spot or someone else?
Well, you know, listen, Bo Nix played pretty as efficient as you can play. You know, here's what Bo Nix does a really good job of. He executes plays, you know, and that's what you got. Greatest player in NFL history is Tom Brady, executed plays. You've got to execute plays. You got to complete balls. And he did that. He did that as good as anybody in football. You know, Caleb is going to have to get a lot better from the pocket perspective and have a better pocket feel and greater anticipation and feel for the game. And those are kind of all big asks. It doesn't mean it can't happen. He got a little better there. And so it's hard to put number two, right? I mean, who played the best is really Bo Nix. I mean, that's who you put at number two right now and how he played. And I wouldn't expect him to get any worse. I expect Bo Nix to get better. But Caleb Williams has definitely a skill set that developed right and the right amount of time and the right coach, which I think he's got. He definitely has a chance to be, you know, the future of the Chicago Bears.
I don't think this draft class is a great quarterback class, but I think you could have two good quarterbacks in Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. How do you view those two quarterbacks, and do you have a preference one over the other?
Yeah, you know, I haven't watched I don't talk make evaluations on guys until I watch tape on them, and I haven't watched enough tape on either one of the guys. I just know this. There's not a Jaden Daniels or C.J. Stroud or Joe Burrow that I've seen so far. And here's the problem that happens. If you push them up in the draft as if they are that guy, that is when real danger comes, because then the expectation of that guy is you better play like that. And when they don't have the skill set of that guy and they don't play like that guy, you ruin that guy. So it's a dangerous thing. I mean, every player wants to be in the top 10, but you got to be careful what you wish for, because when you do that, the expectations can be overwhelming. It can be too much for the skill set that you have or you don't have. And the next thing you're looking at is that, you know, you got a player that's a bust. So you got to be careful with pushing people up the draft that don't belong going up the draft.
I'll tell you, Merrill Hodge, the two players I'm most excited to see what happens with them is Abdul Carter from Penn State and then Travis Hunter. Because I think pound for pound, those are the two best players in the draft.
Well, let me just tell you this. Teams win championships. No quarterback has ever played 60 minutes. No defense has played 60 minutes. So if you're going to do the best thing for your team, then get the best player. I agree with that.
But with that being said, though, talking about quarterbacks, right? We always get into these GOAT conversations, but I'll ask it to you this way. 2 minutes left in a Super Bowl. You're down four. You could pick one quarterback in the history of all the quarterbacks that you've seen, Merrill Hodge. Who would be the quarterback that you're taking to anchor that drive?
In the history?
Yeah. History of the game.
Oh, man. Like, okay, the first guy that pops out of my head would be John Elway. You know, John Elway. I don't feel bad about John Elway.
Yeah, because
my head, he just pops in my head right away. You know, a guy just because I played against him so many times.
Obviously, an all-time great, but it feels like already, right? When you look at the greatest quarterbacks of all time, we know Brady is one. You know, Montana probably two, and then I think people are already saying Mahomes is three. And if he wins this one coming up in 2 weeks, he can move into two.
I ain't gonna argue that. I'd be foolish to argue that otherwise. So he's earning that right to be up there as an elite. He's already elite, but hell yeah. I mean, listen, if you gave me Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or Joe Montana, that's, man, I'm not gonna lose that one either. I think anybody you pick, in history, or if you Dan Marino, I'd take Dan Marino, man, the gunslinger. Yeah.
Before we let you run, Merrill Hodge, there's a lot of speculation about the future of Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt. T.J. made it clear he wants to return to Pittsburgh. Myles kind of left the door open. Steelers aren't close to winning a Super Bowl. The Browns really aren't close to winning a Super Bowl. Do you think it's time for either of those players to move on and maybe go elsewhere?
Well, I'm closer ties to Pittsburgh, the Rooneys, you know, knowing what they're all about, and T.J. Watt, that – and how much they love T.J. Watt. I just don't see that parting. I don't see that. Now, the Myles Garrett, I can see that team being in a position where we can get some picks, you know, and based on the mistakes they've made from the quarterback perspective, that might give us a chance to I'll go back to teams win championships. We got to give up our best player, but it gives us a chance to build a team. So I can see Myles Garrett going somewhere a lot sooner than I can Watt.
Merrill, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the Super Bowl and what a setup you got there. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. Appreciate it.
There we go. Merrill Hodge joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we take a glance at our studio, though, right now, I have a complaint, actually, Manny, and this has to do with your show.
What do we do now?
What do you mean, what do you do now?
Well, first you poo-poo on our promo for the Super Bowl.
Oh, don't get so sensitive. And, poking fun. I was just having people react. You know what, Stu? Do this again. Ready? Just so we don't hurt Manny's feelings. You know, because Manny's very sensitive around here. You can't make any jokes with him. Here was the great promo.
Grammy Award
type sensational promo. Yeah. You know, they honored the legacy of Fats Waller in the correct way.
Thank you.
This is the great promo that Maggie and Perloff put out, along with EJ, Bogish, and some scrub named Manny Rodriguez. Here is the promo that they did to say, hey, we're going to New Orleans. Go ahead.
All right, guys, let's give them something before New Orleans, all right? And a one, and a two, and a oh, yeah, let's go.
That's music.
All right, guys, cool. Awesome, take five. I think we got it. Sounded really great.
We did, in fact, have it, yes.
Okay,
so
you're offended that I played that, is what you're telling me.
No, I'm not offended that you played it. I'm honored that you played it on your prestigious show.
Right now.
So are mine. I'm very happy that you were able to play it on such a great show of yours, on this such great show. But, you know, your take at the end of the day was that you poo-pooed it.
I wouldn't say I poo-pooed it. I just think I had fun at your guys' expense. I think that's the difference.
So was that the Beatles' new release?
Yes, actually, yes. Oh. Yeah. Brought back George Harrison and John Lennon. So, yeah, okay, complaint number two then.
My dad texted me when I was in the middle of a rant. And he goes...
At Nicely Produced?
Yeah, that is his Twitter account. He said, I can no longer watch the show with that little bleeping gritty behind you. My dad... He despises the Philadelphia Flyers.
Understandable.
Like his most hated team ever. He will watch Rangers Flyers games and he'll be like, get that bleep out. Like he just hates the Flyers.
Islanders Flyers tonight. Who is he going to root for?
The Islanders to me are not a rivalry as
okay,
a Ranger.
Okay, continue.
Like, they're on Long Island. I get it. Like,
I've never hated the Islanders in my life.
Okay.
But my dad hates the Flyers. Mm-hmm. And Perloff has this gritty mascot.
That is
in
Perloff's,
the studio,
yes.
And it's in the background. So do us a favor. And tell Perloff that they have, you have to get rid of that after 10 a.m. Eastern time, or else Bob Gelb is going to be very upset with me.
Well, you know how I feel about the city of Philadelphia.
I love the city of Philadelphia.
I no comment.
Well, you see, you're like a Fugazi Pat Boyle. That's what you are. You Fugazi.
That's a good looking dude.
Pat Boyle also, I hate Philadelphia. Now he's dating a girl from Philadelphia. He's at the Eagles playoff game a few weeks ago, eating a cheesesteak, screaming E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles. And he spelled it better than the mayor did in Philly.
Listen, he's made some bad life decisions. It's very obvious, previous and current. You know what? If he wants to spend his weekends in America's armpit, that is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The armpit of America is not referred to as Philadelphia.
Well, geographically speaking, you take a look at America, it's basically the armpit.
Do you know what most people usually call the armpit of America?
The sixth state across the river.
Yeah.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's Philadelphia.
Yeah. See, I don't like to deal with fake outrage. And this is just fake. He doesn't actually hate Philadelphia, folks. Oh. He doesn't. You don't. You're a fraud.
Oh, I do.
You're Fugazi. No. You're fraud. All right, anyway.
I got some bad things about that
state. Coming up with the latest sports flash, here he is, Manny Rodriguez. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. So let's do this based off of the Merrill Hodge conversation, because I feel as if right now, if you ask most people, hey, you get one pick, quarterback, down four in a Super Bowl. You need a touchdown. Who are you taking? I would say that one of the three answers from the majority of people would now be, hey, Brady, Montana, or Mahomes. One of those three, I think, would be an answer for anybody. And Merrill Hodge ended up saying John Elway. So let's just go around the room here and see what the answers are. Stu, who would your quarterback be, just wondering?
I think I would still go Tom Brady at this point.
Okay, so you're taking then Tommy Brady. Samter, who would your answer be?
John Elway, but I was surprised to see him 10th on the all-time list for fourth quarter comebacks, behind the likes of Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, and Matt Ryan. So he's a lot lower down than I remember.
Wait, do you have that list in front of you?
Yeah.
Give me the 10.
All right, so number one, Tom Brady.
And this is just most fourth quarter comebacks ever?
Correct.
Okay, would you rather have Elway or this quarterback? You know, so I'd rather have Brady than Elway.
And Brady has the most with 46. Second is Peyton Manning.
I'd rather have Elway than Peyton Manning. I think Elway was more clutch quarterback than Peyton.
It feels that way, but apparently not. Well, you know, and this is regular season also, so maybe we're thinking, you know, in the playoffs, maybe Manning has fallen off a little bit. Roethlisberger third.
I would rather have Elway than Roethlisberger.
Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford tied for fourth.
I would rather have Elway than both those quarterbacks.
Drew Brees, sixth.
I'd rather have Elway. I think Elway's the better quarterback.
And the interesting thing is most of these names are pretty contemporary. Johnny Unitas is seventh, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I'd go Elway. Like, if Mad Dog Russo could probably argue Unitas and have no problem with it, okay?
Dan Marino, eight.
I think Marino was the better pound-for-pound player, but Marino never won a Super Bowl. Elway won two at the end of his career, so I'd rather have Elway.
Russell Wilson, 9, and John Elway, 10.
Yeah, I'd rather have Elway than Russell Wilson.
Oh, 100%.
So, like...
And then behind them, like, Philip Rivers, Fran Tarkenton, Vinny Testaverde, Derek Carr, Brett Favre, Eli Manning, Joe Montana, Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, Andy Dalton, Warren Moon.
Ryan Tannehill was what number?
Tied for 17th with Joe Montana. Ryan Tannehill and Joe Montana in the same sentence.
So this just shows you why Belichick says stats are for losers. Like, I get it. It's fourth quarter comeback stats. Like, okay, the wins are the wins. But you can't tell me in the history of the game that there are 9 other quarterbacks that you'd rather have over John Elway.
And with Joe Montana, I mean, the 49ers were so dominant for such a long period of time. Yeah. He probably didn't need to make a lot of fourth quarter comebacks.
Yeah. So I would go with Brady. And here's why. I know the Montana fan is going to tell me, oh, well, Joe's never lost a Super Bowl. All right, Brady got to more Super Bowls. And even in the 3 Super Bowls that Brady lost, he had a lead late. Like, he drove late, found Randy Moss in the first one. They had before the Manningham play, right, they increased their lead. You then look at the Eagles Super Bowl that they lost. He threw 505 yards in a Super Bowl and lost. Plus all the game-winning drives that he had down 28-3, down 10 to the LOB, the first Super Bowl victory up against the Rams, the greatest show on turf. So there's just so many iconic moments by Brady. So I would still put Brady over Montana if I needed a quarterback late. And also, man, Mahomes, every time he has the ball, he is the quarterback, right, that gives you that Brady feel of it doesn't matter what the score is. It doesn't matter how far you're down in the game or how much you're down by the game. You just have that belief that he's going to come back. But you're right, with Montana and with so many, they just bludgeoned the opponents and they ended up not being the game. So I would end up still going with Stu that I think it's Brady. But I do wonder how the perception shifts if Mahomes wins this Super Bowl. I still think it's ludicrous to say that Mahomes is a better quarterback than Brady, you know, in the moment. But Mahomes then shoots up that list to number two. He goes to number two, where you take a glance that I think he does move past Mahomes. And it's wild because I think the world of Peyton Manning as a quarterback, the fact that I already have Mahomes in front of Peyton Manning and Manning has already been thrown into the fourth best quarterback of all time. Like, that's, I would say, Brady's one. Right now, Montana's two. Mahomes three. And Manning's four. Even though, in a big moment, I'd rather have Elway over Peyton Manning. It's kind of crazy where, for a while, Brady and Manning were going blow for blow, and you felt like, all right, you're watching these two legendary quarterbacks, and Manning has already been thrown to four. And after 7 or 8 years, you could have Mahomes go up as high as two, basically nipping away at the heels of one Tom Brady. But with that being said, hey, Tom Brady still beat Mahomes in an AFC championship game and a Super Bowl. So it is fascinating when you do take a glance and you look at the QB conversation and the all-time greats. Like, we have Montana coming on at the Super Bowl. I wonder how he takes that conversation. Because for 20-something years, he was viewed as the greatest quarterback of all time. 20-something years, viewed as the greatest quarterback of all time. All of next week in the Mahomes conversation, the conversation's going to be, would you rather be Brady? Like, do you think Mahomes or Brady? Who's going to be the GOAT? And it's almost disrespectful to Montana, even though, right, you're still a top three quarterback of all time. I don't think Joe will care about the conversation because, we've had him talk about it with Brady before. I wonder if you get a little bit more animated, though, Joe Montana, when it comes to that. All righty, that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Big thanks to Merrill Hodge for joining us today. Big thanks to Stu. Big thanks to Samter, as always, and each and every one of you. We'll be back tomorrow, coming up at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Last show of the week. Last show here in New York before we head down to New Orleans for all of Radio Row next week, which is going to be fun as we get you set closer and closer for Super Bowl 59 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. A little battle with Patrick Mahomes and Saquon Barkley. Like, it's not disrespectful to Jalen Hurts. I opened up the show saying Jalen Hurts is the most disrespected player in the NFL. But from a marketing standpoint, it seems like if you had to pick one player for the Chiefs, it's Mahomes. One player for the Eagles, it's Saquon Barkley. And then you'll have like Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift popping up in the background as well. All righty, that will do it for us today. Big thanks to Manny Rodriguez as well in the updates. We'll talk tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.